Hi, this is Bob, and today I have an interview with Gray Skies Fallen. Gray Skies Fallen has released Molded by Broken Hands, one that has made me a huge fan. Definitely give this one a listen. And here is my interview with Gray Skies Fallen.
Hello, my friend.
All right, now I hear you. Hello?
All right, great. I wanted to thank you for taking time to speak with me today.
And I wanted to thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
I wanted to ask about the creative process for Molded by Broken Hands. Mm-hmm. How long did it take to put the material together?
This album started to come together early, I guess early on in the pandemic. And as you know, as everybody knows, everything got shut down at that time. But I don't really remember if we had started jamming together before it started the pandemic. But by the time October of 2020 came around, we were back to jamming in person a couple of times. Maybe once a month or so, just getting back into it. But the song started to come together really in 2020 during the pandemic, and after in early 2021, you know. So it was a good year of writing with a bunch of obstacles in the middle, you know. A lot of bands went through that too. Every band pretty much went through that, but some bands have put their pandemic records out already. This is our, you know, this is 2024 now, and we're putting it out, but that's how it goes.
I wanted to ask you if you could speak on the track Save Us. It's one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Oh, cool, man. That's one of my favorite tracks too, actually. I like how that came out. Technically speaking, in the very beginning, there's a very distinct kind of drone sound, and that's basically the HM2 pedal that all the Swedish death metal bands used back in the day. So that was just I just wanted to throw it in there for a second. It sounded cool, and I kind of left it on there for that first riff, so you hear it like rumbling underneath the other guitars. That's kind of like two songs to me. It's like that first half of that song is kind of like a build up to the second half. And I really am fond of the ending of that song personally.
Another one of my favorites is the title track as well. I wanted to ask if you could speak on that. And I wanted to ask you, did the title for the album come first or did the song come first?
The music may have come first, but the title for the album, once I came up with that, I kind of figured that song was going to be the title track, and I was able to fit the lyrics around the it's not a concept album, but you know, there are themes to each song or whatever. And this particular song, I wanted to be the kind of to run with it and have it the main theme of the album. As far as it's not really, it's kind of self-explanatory, but you are what you come from, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, everybody's raised by people, and it all comes down to how you're raised, and in my opinion, and how you're going to turn out for the most part. And that's kind of what that song is about. If we're getting right down to it, it's about, somebody who goes off the deep end and starts shooting up people. And, you know, that's getting really literal. It's about, you know, I wrote it as about a mass shooter. I think it'll, how you get to that place, in life is crazy to me, man. I can't even wrap my mind around it, but you know, I think it all comes down to how you're brought up.
I wanted to also ask about the video. How long did it take to put the video together? And And how did the process go for you?
Well, we did two of them. The first one was for the song Knowing That You're There,
mm-hmm.
which is the first single. And the second one we did was for the song called Cracks in Time. And Craig Rossi, our old keyboard player, who was in the band for about 15 years. You know, our band's been around a long time. He was in the band for quite a while. He handles our videos now. He's gotten really good at that stuff. So, you know, Craig's always in the loop still. So, you know, he's in our circle. So during the whole process of the record, you know, I'm sending him rough mixes and songs and stuff like that. So he knows what the album is going into it. And, so by the time we came down to let's do this video and another video for the other song, you know, he was familiar with the music, the lyrics and the themes of those songs. And, you know, we were able to I won't say crank them out, because he puts a lot of work into that. That's a lot of work goes into the animation that he does. But, you know, he's able to do it in a streamlined manner, and it makes everything looks great, you know.
And the album artwork, I wanted to ask, how did you come across the concept for the album artwork?
Well, that was Travis Smith, our artist, who is a legend in the metal community as far as cover artwork for bands. And you know, he's done some of the great album covers of the last 20, 25 years. So we've been working together. I've known Travis for a long time on the internet, going back to maybe the late 90s, probably early 2000s. We were on metal bulletin boards, and you know, we kind of kept in the same circles there over the years. As the bulletin board shut down, it evolved into another bulletin board. You know, it kind of, we always kept in touch, and then we finally started working together. It was very, very easy to work with him. You know, he's such an amazing artist. You just give him a couple of words, a concept, you know, he'll run with it. The last record, I gave him a sketch of like a rudimentary sketch with stick figures, and he turned it into the amazing album cover that we had on our last record. This one, I told him what the song was about. I told him the general theme, you know, not behind the album. I guess, like I said, it's not a concept album, but there might be a theme on the record. And he was able to run with it, and it's a simplistic cover, but it's very powerful to me, you know.
It is to me as well. Mm-hmm. I think it definitely mm-hmm. conveys the album.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, man, because I thought that too. And, you know, I've been sitting on that cover for, the album came out as we record this. The album came out 3 days ago, and I've been sitting on that cover for over a year waiting to show people. But the second I saw that, I said, yep, when you play a song on Spotify, or when you play a song on Apple and it comes up with the album cover, I can't picture any other cover now for the music on the record. It just fits it so well, like you said.
And what's the next step for the band? What can fans look for next?
Well, we don't have anything set in stone as far as live performances. We think that as the album has been out now a couple of days, and we'll, you know, starting to get out there a bit more, there'll be interest in getting us out there and doing some runs, some hopefully some festivals eventually, you know, some regional runs. We're looking to we're actually putting together something for a Canadian run in August of this year. That's not official or anything. It's still in the working stages, but things like that, shorter, like if we can go out for a weekend and do a run, or, you know, if there's a week of really great shows to do. But so we'd like to get out there live. We're also starting to write the next record. So, you know, we're juggling those two things, but always keeping the live set ready to go. And you know, I would like to, you know, we've played some big shows and big festivals in the past, and I would definitely like to continue doing that. We're very particular. We pick our spots with our live shows.
I wanted to ask you a two-part question. If you could give me a band history and also tell me, what do you feel is the key to longevity in the business?
Well, so if you get really down to the nitty-gritty in the beginning, I went away to school in 95, in the fall of 95. And when I went away, Joe D'Angelo, who's my friend from a few years before at the time, we grew up, not grew up together, but we became friends as teenagers. He started jamming with this guy Chris, who was our original bass player, and this other guy Dom, who we had Joe and I had jammed with years, you know, for a couple of years here and there, back on Staten Island. And once I heard that these guys were jamming, I was like, "What the? Yo, what's going on here? I'm gonna jump in on this." So this was October '95. We started jamming. Early 96, we changed our name to Eve of Morning. We came up with the name Eve of Morning, and we put out a demo tape in May of 96. We were only together for a couple months. The songs really reflect that. They're not, you know, they're not great listening back today. Very hard for me to listen to those songs. At that time, let's see, that was 96. In 97, I got an email in February of 97 from a band called Eve of Morning in Chicago. And they were like, "Yo, you're using our name." And I was like, "Oh shit." So we changed our name in February of 97 to Gray Skies Fallen. And then in 98, we recorded our first record called The Fate of Angels. And we put that out on March 12th, 1999, which, as we record this, is tomorrow is the 25th anniversary of the release of our debut album. So that's pretty crazy to wrap my mind around also. You know, and time is flying. And after that, you know, we started to have a couple. Every record has a different lineup for the most part. You know, guys come and go sometimes. It's not, nothing's ever personal or anything. It's just things happen in life or whatnot. So lineups change, and especially over the course of 27 years, people are going to come and go. But every album has had a different lineup, sort of, except for the second and third album. And we've just been cranking records out. There have been gaps in between here and there, but I feel we've been somewhat consistent. We have six full-length albums now, and two EPs and a 7-inch. So we've cranked out material in our time. You know, we got to play some big festivals over the years, especially in the beginning. We played Milwaukee Metal Fest for 3 years in a row. We got to play with Opeth, and we got to play with Catatonia on their first shows in the United States. And you know, it was great momentous moments for us when we were young. And you know, things dropped off, and now we're trying to get back to where we were when we were in our early 20s, and now I'm in my late 40s, you know. So, but I think that we're bringing to the table something that's good, and that can get us there, you know. And I forgot, I'm sorry, the second half of your question.
What do you feel is the key to
Longevity.
longevity in the business?
Well, you have to put out of your mind instant success and instant gratification. That doesn't really happen on a grand scale. You know, you might have a band that catches lightning in a bottle, you know, and get signed off of a demo, or and blow up. But for the most part, it's a grind. People in local bands know, you know, the grind that I speak of, and how tough it is sometimes. And you know, most of our recordings, or all of our recordings, were self-financed up until this one. And you know, so you have to put in money, and you have to have people that are willing to do that and make sacrifices financially, and sometimes with their time and their family. You know, they have to go do this for a weekend, or, you know, so you have to have the right people all in the same mindset. And if, you know, if you need to change things up a little bit here and there, you do. But if the goal is to keep the band going and to keep making music, you just adapt with the situations and you do the best that you can with the guys that you have. And you know, you try to make it, I try to make it like a brotherhood, trying to make it, everybody feel comfortable and feel like they're family. I guess that's the New York thing. I guess the Italian, I'm half Italian. So like, it's like the Italian part of me or whatever, but, you know, and we're all Italian in this band. So that's the other thing. It's funny. Yeah, I mean, you just have to want it. You have to want to do it for, obviously, this is corny, but you got to want to do it for the love of it, not for, you know, trying to cash in. Cause who does that when you play underground metal? Right. So, and you'd be surprised. I've heard some people looking, you know, to make money off of this. And it's like, bro, this isn't the genre of music where you're going to make money unless you're in the upper echelon, unless you're out there touring and commanding high guarantees and selling tons of merch. You know, this, you're not going to make money. So just do it for the love of it and do it because you want to do it.
And I also wanted to ask you if you could speak on your musical development. At what age did you begin?
I got my first guitar. I was 12. It was shortly before my 13th birthday. And let's see, you know, I took some lessons in the very beginning with a guy that would come to the house and teach. Those got me, like, taught me how to hold the guitar, you know, how to pluck and how to do things, you know, basic things. And a couple of years later, I started taking lessons seriously from Steve Maranovich, who used to be in a band called Cities back in the 80s. And Cities, they're actually thanked on Kill 'Em All. They would play with Metallica here in New York in the formative days, 82, 83. 83. And anyway, so I started taking lessons from him. That was a few years after I started playing, you know, so I would just like play by ear until I started taking lessons from Steve and he would show me proper things. And really, I started jamming with Joe, the guitar player from Gray Skies, the other guitar player, in 92. So we were probably 15, 16 at the time. And so as far as jamming in bands, that's where we started. We would go to a studio with another friend of ours and we would just joke around and, like, you know, we weren't really serious. We were 16, 15. And I know there's bands that got started out, you know, that young and were really good at that age, you know, but it wasn't us. Like, we were just joking around but that was the beginnings of, like, of that kind of stuff. By about 93, 94, we started seriously writing for our first band, which was called Crystal Logic, which was a title of a Manila Road record. And, that was a great record, by the way, if anyone's into traditional metal. Yeah, so my development started in 12 years old playing guitar. First band was probably about 15, 16. And Grace Guys really evolved from that because Joe was there. And, you know, this was really my first, I won't say my first, but Grace Guys is like the first real band that I've ever had. And that's about it. You know, I don't think I'm an amazing guitar player. I play by ear all the time, most of the time. And, you know, I'm not very flashy or technical or anything like that. I think I get by and I think I have kind of my own little thing I'm comfortable doing on the guitar. So that's about it. Yeah.
And I think one of the great things that that I notice is that you do have a uniqueness to your style.
Well, thank you for that. Appreciate that. I some of my favorite players are like, you know, David Gilmour. You know, I just love that kind of emotional guitar playing. I don't want to say that's what I, you know, I'm not trying to compare myself or anything, but that kind of soulful playing instead of, you know, which I'm not proficient on technicality, I guess, but you know, I love that kind of stuff.
And along your musical journey, what do you feel has been the best advice that's been given to you along the way?
Well, I think I've already kind of shared that is don't do it for any other reason other than your love of it, because you'll be disingenuous. It'll reflect in the music. You know, if you're doing something for the wrong reasons, it's going to show. So you have to be in the right mind frame to do this kind of thing. You have to know what goes with it. You know, there might be lean times and things might not be going your way, but if you keep your nose down and you know, keep working hard, things will pay off.
And what do you feel has been your proudest moment as an artist?
I go back to the Metal Fest days. We were playing Milwaukee Metal Fest. There were offshoots for a few years. There were some in Jersey. There were some in San Antonio. We were playing those shows too, because we were hooked up with this guy called Don Decker. And Don Decker was the booker of those shows. And he discovered us, I guess, on the internet. I don't remember. It was 1998 at the time. And he actually released our first record. The day of the March Metal Meltdown, which was the New Jersey Metal Fest in 1999, like I said, was 25 years ago tomorrow. That was the day we released our first album. We did that on our own, and then Decker liked the album. He immediately released it on his label, Nightfall Records. So we were hooked up with him, and we were able to play these fests, and he would give us prime spot. So here we are with we only have one record, and it just came out, and we're playing with Amorphis in 1999. You know, we're playing with huge bands, and we're getting good reaction. We're getting good receptions, and those shows. You know, when we played with Catatonia and Opeth, I always go back to that one because that's a people talk about that show to this day, and we went on right before Catatonia that day, and they don't look highly upon that show because they think it's one of their worst live shows ever, unfortunately, because they're using other people's equipment. And I remember it was a mess for both of those bands. I had to lend Opeth and Catatonia my amp for that show. So they were using strange guitars and guitars they never played and stuff like that. But those shows were a highlight for me because, you know, I was young. It was new. The band was on fire. We were starting to put stuff out, and we were playing for a lot of people, you know, and those were the days, and we're trying to recapture that.
And I wanted to ask you about the scene in your area. How is the metal scene in your area?
Well, I moved from New York. I live in Pennsylvania now, but I only live here. I'm in New York a lot. I work in New York. Half the time I jam in New York, you know, so it's still fingerprints all over New York. New York scene is really good. There's a lot of great venues to play. Of course, highlighted by the St. Vitus Bar, which is the, in my opinion, the great metal venue in the country right now. It's unfortunately going through some issues right now where they're fighting with the city over certain things. They've been temporarily closed, but I see them reopening shortly. Not that I know anything, but you know, I would think they would get that resolved. But I mean, all the, you know, every big tour comes here, and You know, a lot of great local bands start from here. You know, there's guys that I jam with that are in amazing bands, like guys in my other band. I have another band called Reeking Aura, and in that band is a guy called Big Will. He's in a band called Afterbirth. There's a guy called Terrell. He's in a band called Thetis. There's a guy called Hudson, my drummer. He's in a band called Trog. So these are just guys I jam with, and they're all in incredible bands, you know, other bands. And that's just from our little circle. And, you know, it's a big scene here in New York. And it's good. It's competitive, and it keeps everybody, you know, on the top of their game, right?
Right.
You know, so you want to be the good band. You know, you don't want to be the shitty band. Yeah.
And what's the best way to get merchandise and a physical copy of the album?
Our Bandcamp page. Right on the Bandcamp page, you can buy the CD, and you can buy the vinyl. The vinyl, there's a link on the Bandcamp page, which will take you to merch table. But the link for the vinyl is on the Bandcamp page. And if you purchase the CD from Bandcamp, you get the code immediately. You get access to the album on Bandcamp, which is great because it's the highest resolution, the highest quality. You can download it in lossless. You could download it in the highest, you know, possible quality. So you get that with your CD. And the vinyl came out incredibly, in my opinion. It looks so good. I just loved looking at it, and I love to listen to it even more. And both of those things can be obtained on the Bandcamp page.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you, if you could give a message to your fans, what would that message be?
Well, I hope everybody likes the new album. I think it's our best album. And I want everybody to know that we plan on continuing as long as we can. You know, we're 27 years into it now. This is our sixth album, and I'd like to make 10 albums. I'd like to do 15 albums. And the message, I guess, is we're going to be heard from for the rest of this year, hopefully in a live setting. We're also going to be re-recording two of our songs from our first album in a commemorative thing for the 25th anniversary later this year. So we're going to put that out. You know, we're going to be out there. That's basically the message. Just keep an eye out. And if you like doom metal and melodic kind of progressive tinged doom metal, check us out.
Well, I wanted to thank you for creating this album because, one, I enjoyed it from top to bottom, and two, I am late to the party. This was the first time I have heard the band, and this album made me go back to your past catalog and check out the music because I was so moved by this album.
Well, that's beautiful to hear, Bob. And, you know, that's part of the plan. And being on this amazing label that we're on now, Profound Lore Records, was our first and only choice to be on that label. It's an extreme honor to finally be on a label of this caliber. And the thing with me was I was hoping that, you know, people would be exposed to the album on a greater scale and therefore go back in time and check out the things we've done, because I think 95% of the people has never heard of us before, like just like you. So that could open a lot of doors to our past catalog, which I think is strong. You know, it's varied. It's definitely diverse. And, but it's all kind of rooted in that melancholic doom kind of stuff that we do. So I appreciate that, man. I'm glad it resonated with you, and I'm happy you went back and checked everything out. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And I appreciate you creating the music that you have because, like, as I said before, one of the things I did notice throughout is that the guitar style is very unique and I can pick it out. And a lot of times, with listening to so many bands, sometimes I have trouble finding uniqueness in style. Mm. And definitely in your playing, I hear that.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I've actually been hearing that a little bit in the past couple of weeks. That's making me feel good, you know, making me feel like it's worth it. All the time I've been putting in.
Well, thank you again, my friend. And please feel free to update me with any new news as it comes about, because I'd love to see you guys here in Ohio.
Well, I would hope to get out there, man. Ohio, Cleveland's only 9-hour drive, I think. That's not a big deal. I mean, you know, so if we can figure something out, a little shoot over to Chicago or something, or, you know, we could set something up. We'll definitely keep that in mind, you know?
All right. Thank you again, my friend. You have a great rest of your day.
Hey, thanks to you. Thank you. You too, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Cheers.
Yep.
I'd like to thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can sponsor the podcast. Just click that button and you can be a member of the family. And remember, come see me for a fix.